This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Why would you dramatically declare that you're not going to draft for Need when did he think he was going to overrule Mike Vrabel? I mean, it's so bizarre.
No, I told you.
Hold on. Oh, yay, oh, yay. We are no longer drafting for Need.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fan. Does that map make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Wiggy has, I don't know if anybody's noticed, has slightly adjusted the laugh. And this is perfect for Hill notes, but he's now going.
Dealing with some phlegm. Will Fleming.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Slightly concerning that Will Campbell couldn't fit his arms around Goodell in a bear hug. Anybody else notice that? Now his arms are all I can see.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
So, I tell you, tricking down there must be amazing.
What does that mean?
That means old dudes love to spend money on girls.
Oh.
And they're proud of it. Like, tricking nowadays is men are proud to say, yeah, I'm a tricker. I spend money on girls.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. It's all my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo!
It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Wiggy, I love the Celtics drip.
Sick.
Right off the bat this morning.
Shout out to the Celtics organization for selling these.
A better result last night, certainly.
Yeah.
In game four. And so Celtics can close the Magic out tomorrow night here at the TD Garden.
Orlando's scrappy, man. They are scrappy.
Well, I mean,
especially defensively.
You mean dirty?
I mean, if you watch it, any basketball over the weekend, I think it was Detroit and New York. There's just like the physical contact. I get they're putting their whistles away, but damn, they're basically fighting out. The Minnesota, the Lakers was the same way.
I like that the Celtics aren't stooping down to their level, though. They're like still playing a classy game. I think that they look lackluster in the beginning of games, but they turn it on, obviously, in the fourth. Jason Tatum, thanks to him last night.
Porzingis decided to show
Porzingis
up.
Yeah, Porzingis too, yeah.
I love when basketball players say, let me at him! And then they stand behind people. That's like 90% of the game. Yeah. It's so entertaining.
I mean, you gotta give it to Al Horford, Curtis. He's 38 years old,
right.
And he is still ready to scrap.
Right. Yeah. Does it make you feel ancient when somebody's 20 years younger than you and they call them old?
Yeah, yes, 100%. It really does. But, I mean, you definitely got a game from Jason Tatum last night. You mentioned Porzingis.
Yep.
And so, and he had struggled first, I think, first three games of this series, total of 32 points for KP. So
we got to get your boy going, P. Pritch.
Well, he got absolutely bulldozed last night by Carter and a no-call on that.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be good to get P. Pritch back where P. Pritch was.
Yeah, but
not so
he was still physical. He was important during that game last night, even though he didn't score. Like
But I mean, like, we got to get. And I know that the Celtics have been able to go up 3-1 in this series, and I guess that's a good thing that a lot of the guys haven't really been on. So, you know, hopefully second round we'll get the P. Pritch that we see coming off the bench scoring. Hauser had a couple big threes. But, you know, they're a scrappy team, but the Celtics have, you know, been able to. They just got too much firepower in the sense that, you know, Tatum's been on these past couple of games. And I know they lost when he had 36 the other night, but they have too much talent for Orlando, even though Orlando's scrappy.
Well, we will talk about Celtics this morning, and we will certainly talk about the NFL draft. And do we get a grade from everybody this morning, Curtis?
What grade do you give Belichick's interview? I give it an A+. But the Patriots draft, I honestly, I'm jacked. I think they get an A. That was an awesome draft by the Patriots.
I think you have to say it. Like, we were all over Elliott Wolf, whatever role he played in it. It seems like, Wiggy, you know better than anybody, that was a great draft for the New England Patriots. I know you don't like, I mean, the number four pick. I understand.
But
Will Campbell.
Isn't that how you judge really the draft? Is really your top pick? And really how you judge it. I mean, yeah, they added some positional players. They added players later on in the draft. But isn't the expectations about that first-round pick? Because that's the guy that you expect to be a contributor. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't think we're going into it with, you know, what they draft, two wide receivers? Like, I don't think we're going into it and going, oh, okay, they got Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just like two guys. We'll see what they panned out.
The only thing I didn't like was the long snapper, because I think that it's so petty when I'm really looking at it that they're going to probably cut ties with Joe Cardona, the last Bill guy on this team. But other than that, it was fine.
Well, maybe they just feel like he's getting older. I don't know.
I don't like it.
Because of Joe Cardona?
Yeah, I don't like. I think that it's petty. When you look at it, it's the longest tenured player on the team. He's a leader in that locker room. The Crafts have only spoken so highly of him. They roll out the red carpet every time they talk about him. But he's the last Bill guy. Mm-hmm. And it just seems petty to me, coming off his best season ever, where he missed one game, to then go with a young long snapper and cut ties with him. That's it.
Well, that's Bill's fault for paying him $1 million to snap the ball. I mean, they're going to pay this guy half as much.
Yeah, they're going to get this guy for cheap. Like, I'm with Shime. I know Shime was over the world over it. I like the kid, Trayvon Henderson.
Oh, Wiggy. I spontaneously combusted over the weekend. I since put myself back together, but God, Curtis is being too light. This is an A+ draft. I don't care how you spin it. This is the best draft I've seen the Patriots have in decades.
In decades?
Decades.
Jesus.
Okay.
Wow.
Right.
The guy that was ripping the fourth overall pick. What had you giddy about the draft?
Well, first of all, Trayvon Henderson, in my opinion, might be the best running back the Patriots have had since
Corey
Dillon.
All right, I like him. I can agree with you with that.
He's going to be freaking awesome. I love the Kyle Williams pick. I think Kyle Williams was a second-round talent. You ended up getting him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really, really good. If you haven't seen it already, there's just that one video of him just toasting Travis Hunter off the line of scrimmage, which is fun. And then I think the Will Campbell, Jared Wilson picks, too, like, really, I think will end up helping the offensive line in a way that I don't necessarily expected to get this draft. I think the Jared Wilson pick is a total athlete pick. I think he can be the successor to Garrett Bradbury after this year or 2 years once Bradbury retires. Or he might even be able to play guard this year because he's so athletic and he's really good at pulling. And so I think they have crafted an identity. I think they really went for best player available when you're talking about guys like Josh Farmer, Braden Swinson, getting them in the fourth and fifth rounds. Like, those guys were sitting on the board for them and they were able to grab those. And like, I think those guys could contribute this year.
All right. I mean, I gave them like C+.
Wow, tough grader.
Because I grade off.
You don't grade on the curve either.
Like, no.
I mean, Shime gave him an A+, and mm-hmm. you're delivering a C.
Yeah, because I grade off the first round pick. Right?
Is that C for cannabis in your case?
It could be. But when I look at the draft, right? I look at their first round.
I want you to choke me.
Oh.
The wide receiver, I don't know much about him, you know, but we Jalen Polk.
He's fast.
Yeah, but Jalen Polk tore it up last year or 2 years ago at Washington.
You know what Matt Gross says? If you want fast players, you got to draft fast players.
But we generally base the draft off of what you do with your – and I wasn't a huge fan of Will Camp. I don't know how you could be a – you know, not be a huge fan of his, but then give the draft an A+.
Yeah.
Does that don't make sense to me?
Yeah, but I think that what Shime was saying, like, when it came to Jared, he was more excited about that pick than he was Will Campbell with the first overall. Like, our group message, he popped off during that. Yeah. That was when Shime got excited. So I think Shime's a bit...
That's when the pizza arrived.
Yeah, that's true, Curtis. That's true.
Yeah, and also, Wiggy, don't forget that when it comes to Campbell, he is...
Nasty.
Nasty. I heard Jones and Key playing that on Friday all day long. I was dying with that.
Nasty.
He is nasty.
I have a question. Yeah. Who had the worst weekend, Shedeur Sanders or Mel Kiper?
Shedeur.
We're going to get to Mel Kiper and his meltdown over Shedeur Sanders going undrafted through four rounds during They Said It, I believe.
That was epic social media talker over the weekend.
Unbelievable. Jesus. Yeah. Wow, I've never seen anything like that in all of, like, just being around the NFL. I know Mel Kiper brought up Boomer Esiason and other guys, but a guy that was top 5 at one point, top 10, top 20.
Well, it just shows you that all the draft speculation is many times useless.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it shows me anyway.
Well, you know what it shows me? It shows me the way we view players is so opposite the way scouts view players.
Well, especially when you have a guy who, and you probably don't buy it, but now that you're getting some insight into the way he conducted himself when interviewing with these teams, of course they don't want him around.
Greg was on this from the beginning, and it does show us that we can't, like, Curtis and Shime, I understood what you were saying, the weeks leading up to the draft, you can't trust anything because it's people trying to play chess, but you can. Like, there were reports that he did not conduct himself in a good way, and Greg kept bringing that up, and we kept kind of poo-pooing it because we were saying that you can't trust that. It seemed to be correct.
But I have a question on that, though. If you're Brian Daboll, for example, and you think Shedeur Sanders is going to be an absolute train wreck, he bombed your interview, why would you tell people he bombed it? Wouldn't it behoove you to say negative things about it to other, I mean, positive things about it, so that other teams may draft him and think that you're interested in him?
Yeah.
Like, well, there's nothing that benefits the teams from leaking all that.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was much of the negative stuff that came out prior to the draft.
Oh,
there was
definitely.
There was that one anonymous team, you know, insider who said he was horrible in the interview process, and there was the whole thing about the excessive use of cologne and needing to go outside to conduct the interview because the man apparently likes to wear a lot of cologne. I don't know if that's a problem for you or not.
Not a problem for me.
There was always, like, his pro day, how it was like the red carpet and spent a ton of money, VIP section.
You know who, I forget who the guy was, but I sent it to my kids and my wife in social media, but it was one of the NFL guys, and he basically said where a lot of people were, like, kind of turned off from Shedeur was he chose not to go to the Senior Bowl, and he went to another All-Star game. Then he didn't practice down there. Then he kind of, like, elected not to go to the Big 12 Pro Day. He had his, like, so there was a lot of stuff where he talked about, like, Shedeur was like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. And I guess that, you know, a lot of athletes do that nowadays. But for me, it's more about the way we envision the player on the field versus the way the scouts envision him or the coaches, because they basically said all that other stuff that you're doing, your talent on the field is not worth it. Because to say, like, all right, he's a DB or he's a douche or whatever, fine, but you've seen guys like Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, but in the eyes of the scouting world and the GMs, they felt like those guys were more talented on the field. That's why they took Baker Mayfield number one overall, or Johnny Manziel went in the first round.
Yeah.
So the scouts were like, your talent is not good enough for us to waste a first, second, third, fourth round pick on you. And that's what that showed me, is that, wow, we definitely viewed him a lot differently than the scouts and football people do.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to get to when it comes to all of this, and we will do that all morning long on this show. I have a pair of AC/DC tickets to give away. So, Shime, at some point I was wondering if you would be so kind as to rejoin from a commercial break with an AC/DC song.
I'd be happy to.
So, when you hear that, just be the ninth caller on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, and we will send you to see AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. And let's, I don't know, you pick when you want to do it, Shime. I don't care. Anytime this morning. We are going to get to our leads coming up in about 10 minutes or so. They said it at 720. That's a quick back and forth on everything that they said over the weekend in sports news at 7:45 this morning with Courtney. And the results are apparently in from the world's first ever sperm race. And so we'll get to those. Courtney will share details on the inaugural batch of winners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. And then we're obviously we are going to play Hill Notes back at 9:20. So you can leave one of those at any time this morning on the Odyssey app, and we'll play your best Hill Notes at 9:20. This is Shane from Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Shane.
Morning, guys. How we doing? And I want to go back about a year to this time. I remember Greg saying, hey, showing up to the pro day, showing up to combine, you know, presenting yourself. It's very important. And I don't know if it was Shime or Wiggy, but they were saying, oh, you don't got to prove yourself. You don't got to prove yourself. It, perfect prime example. Greg, you're right. You guys have a beautiful Monday morning.
Could you call it a prime time example?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, then why is it that other players don't have to do it? They don't have to test. They don't have to go to a pro day. Tet McMillan didn't run a 40.
Right.
And he still got drafted 8th overall. Why is it just this one guy?
We know you're not a meeting guy, so that's probably why you don't want people showing up. But,
well, it's not a meetings thing.
It's the talent on the field where those scouts and football people don't think that he's worth that, because you're right.
But Wiggy, Daniel Jeremiah talks to nobody but scouts, and he did not in any world predict he wouldn't go until the 5th round. It came out that it seemed like he wasn't going to get drafted in the 1st round. We all kind of accepted that and realized that,
right?
Because the talent, you're right, wasn't there. But nobody expected him to get drafted in the 5th round after Dylan Gabriel.
Right,
what are we doing? It
was obviously personal.
It was obviously
not about his performance. It really and truly was. People don't like how he behaved. Owners are terrified by it. And then there was the free fall. Like, the notion that you have quarterbacks that dictate the team that will pick them, and they still go number one, versus this guy, it was laughable. He was one of the best players in college football for the last couple years at the quarterback position, and he handled himself like a jackass. I get that. That's not a good thing to do. But the amount of quarterbacks and NFL players that have conducted themselves as jackasses and still got picked in the 1st round is in the thousands.
Because I guess those scouts and those coaches are like, their talent is worth it. It's that simple.
If he was a headache and very talented, they still wouldn't have taken him earlier.
If he was if his talent on the field, if he was 6'4", he ran a 4.5, or he had Jalen Milroe's arm, if he had all that, maybe teams would be like, all right, we'll roll the dice on this guy in the 2nd round. But the view of when you don't go to the 5th round, and I agree with Curtis and Shime that there was some stuff that was personal.
Well, it's not personal. It's business.
Well, like, I mean, you know, personal in the sense where, like,
he's a headache.
Yeah, he's a headache.
Well, I don't even know if it's as much the headache stuff, which seems like there was a lot of that. Like, the, you know, Whether this is true or not, is he does he have his headphones on, listening to music the entire time? You're like basically trying to interview him or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Curtis brought this up on Friday based on what somebody said. I can't remember who, but he's not a football first guy. Maybe like football.
Tetherell McMillan. They asked him, "Do you watch film?"
He loves volleyball.
They asked. They literally asked this video of him out there going, "Do you watch film?" He's like, "No. I don't watch no
And he got drafted
football.
Eighth overall.
Right, but his talent in the eyes of the Carolina Panthers.
But, like, Shadur is – but, Wiggy, like, Shadur is
he's
good.
He's good, but I'm not saying he's good to when we see him. But to the NFL scouts, they view him as like, oh, he's good, but he's not that good.
So then do you fall in line with Mike Florio, who had the report that that Shadur should just go back to college, make more money in the NIL than he will in guaranteed money now that he fell so far, and then go play for a different team, different coach, and prove himself?
Well, no, you'd have to – if you were going to go back, and you'd have to change your personality and do all those things.
I mean,
yeah.
Also, like, based on his social media and the Louis cases that he was sharing over the weekend that are full of cash – he has plenty of money.
Yeah, oh, the money's not that. Money's not an issue.
But do you guys have the same Louis carry-on or different?
Mine is a knockoff.
It worked out good
Seaport
for him.
Has nobody that shows off their money looking around.
Curtis, Greg's is vintage.
I mean, he couldn't ask for a better landing spot, though, honestly, to be competing with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. Like, sure, he has a legitimate chance.
He's got a legitimate chance.
What a QB room with those crew.
All right, well, we have a lot to get to this morning, including what is trending right now with our queen, who is back from Florida.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's, and I'm going to be real with you. I cannot find my glasses this morning. I think they must be in my car, so I have to run during the break, but it is not a hot start for your girl.
Is it possible that you left them in the anything goes state?
No, definitely not. I didn't take them there,
Okay.
The Celtics get it done in game 4 after dropping game 3 in Orlando on Friday. Final score last night, 107-98. Both these teams had moments where they had a nice runs. I think the Celtics 11-0 run, then the Magic had like a 13-4 run, but it was the C's down the stretch led by Jason Tatum to get it done. Tatum ended with a double-double, 37 points and 14 rebounds for him.
You could argue that Magic run that you're referring to, which was like a 10-point run, was on, Joe Mazzulla, because he foolishly went for that challenge, lost his timeout, and then when those guys went on a run, he didn't have one available to
well, the challenge
I know
was...
I know he's the best coach in
the
NBA.
But the challenge was to ultimately, hopefully... get that, I think it was the third foul against Porzingis. So that's kind of what he was challenging, is that hopefully we can, because we're going to need him and we don't want to maybe lose him to the bench because he's in foul trouble.
Game 2 is set for tomorrow night back in Boston. Tip is at 8:30.
Game
5. Yeah. I just can't read. Yeah. Fives and twos. I have astigmatism, so they look like they are the same.
Okay.
Other NBA playoffs yesterday. The Pacers go up 3-1 on the Bucks. The Timberwolves up 3-1 on the Lakers. And the Knicks up 3-1 on the Pistons.
Uh-oh, Curtis, your Lakers are in trouble.
Yeah.
It was a rough weekend for one prediction and a great weekend for another.
The Red Sox took care of the Guardians yesterday 13-3. Brian Baio won 6 innings, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. The Sox off today before heading to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. In the NHL playoffs, the series... I can't read this.
Oh, please, just go nuts.
Sorry, what did you say, Shine?
The Oilers.
Tied up the series with the Kings. The Capitals up 3-1 with the Canadiens. Carolina leads the Devils 3-1. And the Blues tied up their series with the Jets. And for the Pats, after taking a starting left tackle in Will Campbell in the first round, they got Ohio State running back Travion Henderson and Washington State wide receiver Kyle Williams in the second round before taking another offensive lineman in Georgia center Jared Wilson on Saturday. The Pats turned their attention to the other side of the ball using their first three selections on defensive players and added a kicker.
How blind are you?
I'm so blind.
Wow.
I can't believe that. I didn't realize that you need your glasses that bad.
Yeah, especially with screens.
Wow.
Santo's like, you need to get contacts, and I can't touch my eyes. It's a thing.
You know what's actually interesting, Courtney? I don't know if you saw this. At Marianne's, there's a sign that says, at this place, we turn twos into fives.
But I'm serious. Like, a twos and fives, if you have astigmatism, you know what I mean? They blend together. It's hard.
I hear you.
I just struggle every day. You know, I fight through.
Somewhere in Florida, there is a topless butler who has a nice pair of women's glasses on right now. Yeah. Guaranteed.
No, we didn't get the topless butlers. Let me tell you, unbelievable weekend, 10 out of 10. We did not see a single male that was not our best friend TJ on the trip, or like the IV nurse who was giving IVs, or like a waiter, really? Or anything like that.
No guys at
no.
all?
No. Nope. Huh.
So did you that guys not leave the
no,
Airbnb?
No, we did. But like we went to dinner, just us girls.
There was no dudes there?
Well, I mean, I'm saying like we didn't interact. They were, you know, at different tables. Yeah.
Interesting that that's the first thing basically you said about the whole thing.
Well, because you guys were like, shirtless butlers.
Well, you're the one who brought up the shirtless butlers.
Yeah.
There was a lot of you, though, right?
There was a lot of us, yeah. We had a great time. Palm Beach, very, very fun. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Perfecting the art of fresh, the 99-cent sale is back. Pick up participating items at Shaw's and Star Market for just 99 cents. Buy the pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Welcome back. 48 degrees, partly cloudy, gorgeous day, mid-70s and sunny this afternoon.
Congratulations in order for Jack White and all of the White Stripes, who are officially headed to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This class announced for the number one genre in music. We covered that, I think, on Friday, Wiggy. Rock and roll remains number one. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know where you found that one.
Apologies to you.
Speaking of the White Stripes, how was Nantucket?
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Daffodil Weekend, Curtis. You ought to take it in sometime. Ooh. I know.
Yeah. Looked lovely. I got to tell you, it looked amazing. I love standing in the rain and spending $2,000 a night for a hot dog.
Oh. Yeah. Jordan Belichick was down there, and I didn't see Bill, so I don't know if he's being held hostage somewhere or just... when she leaves the house, does he have to stay in like a like a dog crate, or like what happens?
Yeah,
is somebody who cares about him, is somebody reaching out and checking to make sure that Bill is okay?
I was at a birthday party. Happy birthday, Caden, 4 years old, great friend of James, and a dad came up to me and he just said, "Curtis, have you seen the Belichick video?" And he had an S-eating grin on. I was like, "No. I want to give that guy a kiss on the lips." What an unbelievable video.
Is anybody doing it as a...
Courtney
as
and I are tag team.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, we can wait then. But yeah.
It is strange. It's for all those people who are like, "Oh, she... it's about love." Okay.
Well, I mean, it's about... It seems like it's about elder abuse.
No, it's about making sure she finds a good place in the Belichick will.
Yeah. All right, did you get a pair of glasses?
Jackson just, I texted Santo because they were not where I left them. And I said, "Did you take my glasses out of the car?" And he said, "No, he had moved them to the center console so they didn't get broken."
Oh, mm-hmm.
Very nice. So Jackson just ran up to grab them.
So you have your glasses.
I do. Okay. Thank God. I'm back. She's back.
Okay.
Wait, so you were able to drive without your glasses?
Shime, please.
Yeah, she just can't see.
Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up.
She can't see computer screens.
My parents get very upset.
You're in your 30s.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should allow you to do whatever you want to do.
Well, they think about my safety, and they're right. I should be wearing my glasses.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like a grown woman afraid of what your parents are going to hear.
Have you met my parents?
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you have to drive without your glasses, you drive without your glasses.
Yeah, but I should be wearing them at all times, or I should get contacts.
Home by 10 tonight.
You can get, I'll get LASIKs.
I would do LASIK.
There you go. LASIK people. Hey, get Courtney going.
But I have heard that you need to wait till you're a bit older. I guess I'm 33 now. Like, I may be a candidate, but they say that your eyes change so much that maybe doing LASIK early in life is not. But I'm not early in life anymore.
I think this would be a good time.
Okay. I'd do it.
Yeah. Do you have to get a permission slip when you go get a procedure done from your parents, or can you just go do it yourself?
No, but I usually like text when I take off on a flight, text when I land.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
I think we all do that.
Yeah.
I think that's nice.
I check in when I get home.
Okay. Let me...
make sure you buckle up.
I want to get Walter quick because Walter has been kind enough to hang on almost since we started the show half an hour ago. Hello, Walter.
Hey, I was just saying, like, this draft, like, Shine is right. It's like, this draft, Steve Smith was really good on the seasons. That this kid had the most separation that he's seen in the last couple of years. And the Farmer and Swinson pick might be two of the biggest fails in the Patriots' whole draft. But Shador fell because of Shador. And I'm a big Shador fan. It's like his talent is a second-round talent. But he was walking in meetings when they were putting up on a board about plays that you did, just looking at the guy saying, if you want to change your draft, I mean, your team draft me. Nobody can do that. Coming with a 15-piece entourage. You can't do that. It's like you got to be kind of humble. And I love Shador, but you can't do stuff like that. It's a job interview. And it's like they say, if you go back and watch Ryan Clark asking him if he might drop to number 6, and he looked at Ryan Clark like he stole something from him, saying, you're crazy. I'm going top 3.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's what he thought he was Deion. He's not Deion.
Nope. Nope. That's the difference. And nope. And you saw the video of him and Cam Ward working out when he was like, yo, I'm the best quarterback out there, and I'm going number 1. And Cam Ward was like, you know, out there, like, kind of humble and just, like, not really getting into it.
He was also, like, telling Cam Ward that they ought to drop some rhymes together.
Yeah.
Do a song. And Cam Ward's like, no, I like football.
Yeah.
Like, I'm focused on football. I'm not a rapper.
Right.
Like, that's the problem.
Can't do that.
Like, nobody wants to draft a guy, waste a high pick on a dude who is focused on not only playing football for his daddy, but also on, you know, a rap career and an influencer career.
Well, when you don't have that talent, like, it's one, you can't compare yourself to your dad. Your dad rolled out of bed and ran a 4.3. You're not that dude. Like, so you can't compare yourself.
Whose fault is that?
That's
Deion's.
Well, no, that's his fault.
It's Deion's. He let him do. He's a grown man yet, Wiggy.
He's 22 years
old. Yeah, that's not.
That's a grown ass man.
For a guy, that's basically 12. Yeah. If you're Shador Sanders, you've been told your entire life that you're the best. You can do whatever you want. You can do the rap career with the football career and everything else that comes along with it, and people will love you. It's not the case.
That's a grown ass man. Listen, let's stop. His dad, like, I get it. His dad might have put some stuff in his head, but he's been around long enough to know. Listen, I got to be able to walk humbly a little bit at times. There's a difference.
Wiggy, you were different than when you were a senior in college than you were in your. Mid to late 30s.
But you're a grown man, right?
Nobody's disputing that.
Right, so you got to know the difference. When you play football, you know the difference between being cocky and being confident. He knows that. Like, Shador knows that difference. He does. I don't think.
Yeah, but Wiggy, like, no, I don't know, like, his dad Wiggs. Put these visions in his head like he's the best in the world retiring his jersey.
He retired his jersey 2 weeks ago. Like,
just because your dad does that, that doesn't mean you have to now have that same behavior.
Wiggy, if we had this player and Shador Sanders behaved like, you know, Cam Ward, and he had this really good head on his shoulders and all this, wouldn't you credit his parents? Like, we can't credit parents for doing a good job because their son is a good representative of them and then say they share no culpability if the kid's an ass.
Yeah, but Deion did a great job with Shador Sanders. Shador is a great kid.
You know what I think back to?
He doesn't have any issues.
Do you remember
I'm talking about Curtis as somebody who was 20 years old, 19 years old, 21 years old, 22 years old. As a football player, you know the difference between confidence and being cocky.
And Wiggy, do you remember the Do Your Job podcast where Tom Brady was on with Deion and Shador, and they were joking about how Brady had to tell Shador to not drive a Rolls Royce with his dad? That's enabling by the father.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the father didn't.
So if your kid gets a Rolls Royce and they don't have a big work ethic, it's kind of on you too.
But I'm not saying he doesn't put these things in his head, but there's got to come a point in time when you're 22 years old and you're like, okay, yeah, my dad has put me on a pedestal. Good for Deion for doing that to his kid and like lifting him up and giving him all the confidence in the world.
But why is it okay then? But then with Mac Jones, it was like he's a silver spoon kid. He was brought up at country clubs and tennis clubs, and
care about how he was brought up.
When he was on the Patriots, we talked pretty frequently about how he was a spoiled brat.
Yeah, we made fun of him being a tennis kid.
Okay, so right, then, Deion made Shador a spoiled brat.
But Mac,
that's what we're saying.
But and what I'm saying, it wasn't like Deion maybe had a hand in it, but when you're 22 years old, 23 years old, you know the difference. Like, you know the difference. You know, going into a meeting I don't know if this is true, but going into a meeting with AirPods on is not a good look.
No, it's not.
Like, you don't need your dad to tell you that at 22 years old.
You also don't need to bring your entourage with you when you're interviewing with NFL teams.
But my point is, you don't need your dad to tell you that.
That just sends the wrong message.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. But you don't need your dad to be like, at 22, hey, Shador, you shouldn't wear AirPods or bring a 20 dude posse into the meeting with you.
This is Joe from Lowell. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Hey, Wiggy, if you're right about all of this, then isn't he just a jerk? If he knows the difference between right and wrong and he chooses wrong, then he's a jerk.
Yeah.
So say that. Say he's a jerk.
He's a major a-hole.
Yeah, he's a douche.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said he's a douche.
Cool. All right. Well, we're all on the same page.
I think what Shador did hurt him by getting, you know, where he was drafted. And he's the reason to blame for that.
Yeah.
Because he has his... He's got clownish behavior.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Like, you got to know, like, the NFL don't care. Unless you are just that good, they don't give a damn. They're going to make an example out of you. And that's
what
they did.
Maybe this will humble him.
You would hope.
A little humble pie.
Right. You would hope. Maybe. You would think it would.
All right. We're going to have to take a break. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney has her glasses, so everything's fine.
Yep.
We will get to our leads. Coming up next, why are we hearing Casey and the Sunshine Band?
It's not Casey and the Sunshine
Band. It's Cool in the Gang. Cool in the Gang. Sorry.
Holy, come on.
I saved myself on that.
Yeah, because I'm celebrating a great draft weekend for the New England Patriots.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Greg, when you're DJing a wedding, when does this pop into the playlist?
It would probably be right before the chicken dance and right after the electric slide, I would say.
Those are on the no-play zone.
Probably when the... when the new couple is introduced, when Shime and Lauren are introduced for the first time as Mr. and Mrs. Shime, we will probably play that.
Will you be wearing any, like, ball gags at the wedding?
Me or Shime?
Both. Both of you do tend to get lucky on wedding night.
Greg is a big fan of leather.
When I DJ Shime's wedding, I will dress appropriately. And certainly I love introducing the wedding party, one of the better moments. Have you chosen a first dance? Do we discuss that? I think we already did. You haven't chosen a song for that yet.
No, we have a couple in mind, but we haven't firmly decided on one yet. No.
If you need any suggestions, I am a musicologist, so I'd recommend when it comes to, are you going to dance with your mom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Highly recommend Kenny Rogers. Through the Years.
Ooh.
For that touching moment.
And first dance, maybe Beck, Loser.
All right. Leads this morning brought to you by Subaru of New England and their Love Spring event, which is here right now. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru and find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Speaking of music, heads up. At some point this morning, Shime will rejoin from a commercial break with AC/DC, any AC/DC song. When he does, just be the ninth caller, because I have tickets for you to go see them at Gillette. So ninth caller when you hear AC/DC. Shime, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So just quick, not two-part lead, but I just need to begin my lead with, if anybody from the New England Patriots is listening, I need you to please release whatever Travion Henderson's number is going to be so that I can purchase the jersey from the team store. I don't need one. I'm not like Wiggy. I'm not asking for free merch. I just need you to release the number so that I can buy his actual jersey because I don't mind buying it. I really want it. I desperately want it. Now, pivoting off of that, what a weekend for the New England Patriots. If there was any doubt that Mike Vrabel was in charge or that that Elliott Wolf was doing anything, he's not. This was as Vrabel a draft as it gets. I loved every second of it. I understand that.
That's cap.
Not cap.
Because you didn't like the first, the fourth overall pick.
Yep, Wiggy.
So you didn't love every minute of it.
Hold on. I didn't love the Will Campbell pick when it happened. Then, as soon as we drafted Travion Henderson in the beginning of the second round, my entire mood changed. I pivoted. I saw the vision. Then not only did we get Travion Henderson, we got Kyle Williams, who was an exceptional wide receiver prospect. Steve Smith has raved about him. One of the few things Chris Sims does every year is grades receivers entering the draft. Mm-hmm. Kyle Williams was his number two receiver, and he's actually been pretty good at that. One of the few things Chris Sims does well is grade receivers. And then you get an athletic interior lineman like Jared Wilson. Joshua Farmer, I think, was an exceptional add on the interior defensive line. Braden Swinson was if you thought they weren't going to take BP best player available throughout the draft, you're lying to yourself, because that's exactly what they did with guys like Joshua Farmer, guys like Braden Swinson, even a guy like the kicker there, Andres Borregales. I think that's how you say his name. Don't know. Don't care. I loved every second of the weekend. I am thrilled with how this draft went. It's the best draft the Patriots have had in quite some time. I cannot wait for training camp and preseason to get underway. And Travion Henderson is my new favorite NFL player.
Okay, Sean giving the Patriots draft an A+. Wiggy giving it a C, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm sure your lead will address that further, or are you going in a different direction?
Oh, I got a couple things percolating in my head right now.
I think tag team lead from Curtis and Courtney right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
So we even timed that the same. Right. So here's a picture from Mitch that, I'm sorry, send it to the Louvre. It was the most shocking thing I have ever seen in my life. Bill Belichick looks like he has spent 6 months at an insane asylum. And was just visited by another earthling. Courtney's going to get to the Jordan component of this, which is just bizarre. But this was actually a great back and forth on the absence of Robert Kraft from his book, Art of Winning.
This is I have to ask. Go ahead. Sorry. This is on the CBS morning news, or CBS This Morning. Yeah.
I have to ask about Robert Kraft, because 24 years together, 6 Super Bowls. Unless I'm wrong, he's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I experienced directly.
He's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
So, wow. One thing I forgot, just to not let Kraft out of this, when he was on the stage at that awful, dumb press conference they did, he said, I would have kissed him on the mouth if I wasn't sick.
Said Bill has a cold. So.
Right. he said he wanted to kiss a guy that he ran to Charlamagne the God and said he fired. But the reality is, I am terrified for Bill Belichick.
Mm.
I don't know what's going on, and I'll go right to Courtney and her side of this with Jordan.
Yeah, so Jordan was brought up during this interview as well. She was there on the premises, sitting just off camera, but the camera kept panning to her. We have a little bit of one question that she did not approve.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No.
Okay.
Two things I would like to say here. One, when he does first bring up Jordan,
right,
and says that, you know, he calls her his muse,
mm-hmm.
Bill does light up. He does. When you watch it, he smiles, he lights up.
Does he want to call her his muse? Or did she tell him he has to call her his
muse? No, it's his words.
And God rest his soul, my mom's dad, when I bring him a big Carvel milkshake, his eyes would light up too.
But I will say, and I have been on Team Jordan, I have been staying strong on Team Jordan. I like how much of a boss she is. I did not like her interjecting right there. I think that she's publicly talked about how they met on the plane. We've seen photos. We've seen photos of Bill signing her textbook.
Right.
And what they talked about. I know the story. So if there's an interview going on and he brings up something that's already out there, but you want to hear Bill's side of it, to shut it down seems so bizarre.
Red flag-ish?
But bizarre, and it's like, so is that not the actual story? Is the timeline not adding up? I just feel like that should have been a moment that Bill continues speaking glowingly about their relationship. I don't care what anybody else thinks about what's going on. I'm happy. I'm doing things for myself. Her interjecting, and if she thought that they were going to leave that part out, it was a bad look.
According to Florio, there were several instances that they didn't put in, but that he believes that CBS was so irritated at what she did that they included one of them as a means to... Because this was basically all for Bill. It's just a segment on his book to promote it.
So do you think she now is running all of his
You can media, stop there.
Any kind of media appearance. Yes. And so, therefore, do you think she encouraged him to do this?
Yes.
But a part of it was that she was going to control it somehow.
Correct.
I
would imagine moving forward, any interviews he's doing, any press conferences he's doing, any one-on-one interviews.
Anything he does.
Yeah, UNC media, like she is the middleman. She's bearish.
Right. Other than his holy sweatshirts from Navy that he's had for 50 years, probably telling him how to dress, how to move, how to conduct himself, because... And this was the biggest thing. The story of them meeting has been out forever, but it's only come from one side. Yeah. And it's really been Jordan who said, this is how we met. So when you step in and say, we're not talking about it, when the story's like, you know, it's basic, you know, we were on an airplane, that kind of thing. Then you really didn't meet that way. And it just like a look, like good for Bill, but... she's everywhere now.
And Greg, there's actually a common thread between the two biggest stories to me this weekend, Shadur and Bill. Both, without anything else considered, would be in the NFL doing what they want, where they want. But because of other things, they are not where they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope that maybe she sees this and she is self-aware. I'm sure she is. She seems like a very intelligent girl. Self-aware to say that wasn't what Bill needs right now, that now there's a whole narrative of me stepping on his toes, because he basically looks over to her when she says it and then he stays mute.
But I have to give credit to Jenny Belichick, Steve's wife, who's been at least publicly ripping this girl because she's damaging the patriarch of the family.
Yeah.
Like, well, all the mermaid thing, the airplane.
He was asked about that.
He was asked about that, and he kind of like pivoted. But, you know.
Well, he basically said he doesn't run his own social media.
Right.
She does.
She's
I'm sure she's the one who runs it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. There's a lot to get into on this, so we got to take a quick break. But we will get to the rest of and I think the moment that it all started to go wrong for him. So we'll get to that during my lead coming up next.